said, according to the word of God, I am healed. I was healed. That means I am healed. I was healed by the stripes of Jesus that he took on his back on his cross 2,000 years ago. So I'm healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many of you believe that? Well, lift your hands and thank God for it. John 1, verse 17 says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was demonstrating to us a higher level than the law. Now, what we're going to share with you today is the covenant of healing. Covenant of healing. Everybody say covenant of healing. Now, God bases his relationship with his children based on covenant. Now, the Old Testament, they were servants. New Testament, we are sons. Different relationship. Under the law, we were servants of God. The Jews were, basically. Under the New Testament, the New Covenant, established on better promises, we're sons. So everybody say, we got a better relationship. Now, God doesn't deal with us based on contract, because contract and covenant are two different things. A contract is where we assume our and protect our rights, but relinquish our responsibilities. You know, most professional athletes or entertainers have a contract. So what they're trying to do is make sure I get the most benefit out of it for myself, but I don't have to do anything because I'm contracted by this company, this agency, this organization to give me what they said they're going to give me. You know, like, for example, in football, some people sign these contracts and they get a guarantee. They get a guarantee. That means I get a payment whether I'm hurt or not. I get this money. So God does not say this is a contract, because when we take communion today, we're not talking about a contract. We're talking about a covenant. Everybody say covenant. A covenant means just simply that God, with our relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, we assume our responsibilities and we relinquish our rights. Now, in the context of our rights, in the area of healing, we have to relinquish our right to stay sick. We have to relinquish our right to stay afflicted and constantly battered and bruised by the devil. We're a child of God, so that means it's our responsibility to receive what our Father has provided for us. Our Father has provided healing and health for us. Now, some of this is going to be radical because you got to think differently, because the whole American landscape is based on big pharma. They make trillions of dollars pushing pills to people every single month. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's why the hospitals are filled with patients, because they are sick. So part of this covenant, when we take the communion table, is to bow our heart and our knee before the Lord and say, Lord, if I've been tolerating sickness, no more. If I've been tolerating these terminal diseases, never again. Because we just said, we know it because of what the word says. By his stripes, we are what? Healed. Praise the Lord. So we're going to learn about the grace that God provided for us to be healed of anything and everything that comes against us. See, grace is what God makes. And Jesus was coming to show us God made healing available for all his covenant children. Healing is a part of the children's bread. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now look at 3 John 2. It says, beloved, I pray that you may what? Prosper in how many things? All things, and be what? Health means no sickness. Well, Pastor, that's too high. That's too hard. No, that's what the word promises. Prosper and be in health, even as what? Even as your soul prospers. Everybody say, God wants me in health and in prosperity, even as my soul prospers. So we got to get you thinking right. It's commonly said that health and wealth, health is wealth. And I think that's true because nothing holds holds value when your health is in jeopardy. How many of you know it costs money to go get expensive procedures? It costs money to get things paid for. It costs money, M-O-N-E-Y, when you're paying for, you know, several different prescription drugs every month. All right, nothing wrong with that as far as needing the help you need, but don't stay there. Amen. Anything and everything goes on the demand of poor health. Therefore, is it to say health is wealth makes a lot of sense. So the state of perfect health is the will of God. Everybody say perfect health is the will of God for me. In Jesus' name. So for all of his covenant children. So as we judge ourselves on the communion table, at the communion table, we say, Lord, I know where I'm at. You tell me where I'm at, where I need to be. Amen. Because, you know, as we were shared about last year, there's too many long protracted periods of people being sick in the church. That's not his best for his children. And the Lord made provision when a child of God gets sick, what they should do. But this is part of our reminder that, hey, we got a covenant with God. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you live a long, full life to be 100 plus years old, you're going to have to overcome a lot between now and then because your body is mortal. So as we said before, you got to put your spirit in charge. Because all divine healing is spiritual. The world's got us set up this way in America. When you get, or you got something going on, something pain in your body, something in your brain or something in your muscles, or you go to who? Go to the doctor. Nothing wrong with that, except you have a covenant with God that you skipped the step. You didn't go in the spirit where your health care is provided for eternally by the Lord. Everybody say it with me. All divine healing is spiritual. That means it starts where? In our spirit. It's by faith. It's not by our flesh. We don't check our body to see if healing's real. We check our covenant. Come on, I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. We check our covenant and say, this is real. This is the real deal. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, next slide, guys. Exodus chapter 15, verse 22 through 26. It says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. And they went there, went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained. Notice how I got that underlined. Against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And so he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. Now, the tree is the type of the cross. The tree is the type of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought upon on the Egyptians. Egyptians, type of the world. Amen. The Jewish people, the children of Israel, were a type of God's covenant children. Amen. He said, for I am the Lord who does what? Heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. Everybody say, he heals me. So this is the first revealed redemptive name of God. You don't think that God, you know, every time they mention the word God, the people heard. No, they didn't hear God in the beginning. The first chapter of the Bible, Genesis, is in the beginning, Elohim. Now, we translate it in the Bible as God. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is a plural reference, meaning God the Father, God the Son, but he was the Word then, and God the Holy Spirit created the heavens and the earth. Well, that means he was the originator or creator or the cosmic ruler of the universe, Elohim. But then as he began to develop relationship with man after the fall and Moses came along, his first redemptive name that he redeemed his people by is this one. I am the Lord who heals you, which means Jehovah Rapha. It's been translated the Lord who heals you, or the Lord your physician. Now you should see some people sometimes in the hospital, or they pay attention to the doctor. The doctor calls them. The doctor, they'll make sure they get there 15 minutes early because they don't want to miss that appointment. But he's the first one who said, "I am your doctor. I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord, your physician." You may have to find, they may tell you, well, I'm retiring, sweetheart, and you got to find another doctor. And people get so upset. Oh, I don't want to go outside where I used to go, or I don't want to change doctors. People get fussy when they talk about moving their doctor. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But God says, I am your physician. Oh, y'all not too excited about this. Look what he says. Notice this passage of scripture that reveals one of the first redemptive names as Jehovah Rapha. And that name reveals who God is and what God is. Who is he? Your God. He's in charge. And what does he do? He's in charge of your health care. People got excited when, you know, they call it affordable health care, Obamacare. But how many know Obamacare or affordable health care is not perfect? No health care system is perfect. Heaven's health care system is perfect. Hallelujah. He's based on covenant. That means God didn't say, I was the Lord who used to heal you. Because what does the world teach us today? Society teaches us, as you get older, you know, your body's going to start getting decrepit. And you start going from 6 months to the doctor, now you're going 3 months. And some people every other month, and some people every month. Their whole time is consumed with doctor's appointments. I know nobody want to agree with me today. That's okay, but we got to take communion, right? We got to change the course of this thing. If you're supposed to live to 100, 120, You got to get with the program. You got to get with the program and say, God's going to be my doctor. I got to receive Jesus, not just as my Savior and my Lord, but when I take communion, I got to receive Jesus as my healer. Praise the Lord. He didn't say, I was the Lord who used to heal you. I'm not the Lord who might heal you if it's easy. Because we've let the devil and we let doctors, unfortunately, tell us that you're going to have this forever. Oh, you're not getting off this prescription. This is a terminal condition. That means you're going to live with it till you die. But what did he say? What did the Lord say? For I am the Lord who does what? Not might. Not maybe. Oh, I got some work to do this month, I guess. He didn't even say that medical science will heal you. Or that your doctor will cure you. Unfortunately, we've got too many Christians get pay more respect to a doctor than the doctor Jesus. Amen. No, when he said, I'm the Lord who heals you, he never retracted it. He never redacted it. He never reversed it. He still is your physician today. He's got more room in taking new patients all the time. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He's still our healer. He's our divine healer. He still has the best health care plan and health care system that ever existed for his children, his covenant children. Somebody say, hallelujah. Come on, thank the Lord for that. 2025, March 2025, he's still got the best health care for his children. Now, they're at this water called Mara. Mara means bitter or bitterness. Now, what does that symbolize? It symbolizes when we go through physical ailments, afflictions, attacks in our body. Isn't that like bitterness? And it says they murmured, which is different than believing God. Now I'm going to get in the Kool-Aid a little bit, because I know being around people who are hurting, they're always expressing concerns, and it's usually complaints. My back hurts, my knee hurts. This hurts. This is challenging. Oh, my head is pounding. I got a migraine. My sinuses are bothering me. They're burning my nose. I can't hardly think straight. And we're rummaging the pill cabinet. What happens? Bitterness, then murmuring. Now, in this case, they couldn't get water. Water was not easy, not sweet. Hard water. It's bitter. I got to drink this. I got to take these pills. I got to deal with these side effects. Come on, y'all. Are y'all here? See, murmuring is different than believing God. Murmuring is uttering complaints in a low voice, a sullen manner. It's grumbling and complaining. Now, can we all honestly say that anytime we experience pain in January or February, we didn't grumble? We didn't complain. We didn't tell nobody about it over and over again. All right, come on, y'all. So murmuring kind of goes in different levels. Level one is where I'm complaining. Level two, where I'm grumbling. I'm murmuring through discontent. I'm being critical. And people get mad. You're not hurting like I am. And they get snappy with people. Because their head hurts. Their back hurts. Their shoulders hurt. They're tired all the time. Are y'all getting the picture? And then they get into judgment. Now, it says here in James chapter 4, verse 11, don't speak evil of one another, brethren. But he who speaks evil of a brother judges a brother and speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. See, God wants his children to walk in love and not in complaints, in grumbling, in bitterness. How do you measure that? Well, when you get around other people, other Christians, do you talk about your problems or other people that may be giving you problems? Or do you talk about the Lord? Everybody's staring at me. Innocent little eyes, right? But you think about it. Just like they did then, unfortunately, sometimes Christians can slip today. And they start talking about other people who are causing them pain or other things in life or a sickness or disease that's causing them discomfort. And everything that's not of faith tends to go in the way of the wrong category. That's where we say at the table, Lord, I judge myself. I'm not going to judge other people. I'm not going to speak evil of other people. You can think about how many people are complaining now because of all the changes in the first few days of the new administration. People can't keep their mouth shut. They're bitter. And I know it. I've been around long enough. I'm almost 60 years old. When people get bitter about changes in their body, they talk about it. Come on, y'all lift your hands and thank God. Y'all staring at me like I'm some stranger or something. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We got to walk in love. See, this is a covenant table, but it's a table based in love. And love wants to do good and give good to its children. But we can't violate that covenant by walking outside of love. We can't be drinking bitter waters like Mara and complaining and fussing and expect the loving God to give us loving things. We can block and stop our covenant because of our complaints, our murmuring, our bitterness. Everybody says, God is... My Father God is a God who heals me and heals me now. So let's go to the next slide. Before I get into these scriptures, I got to give you a statement. It's not from me, but it's something I've adopted, but it's from another pastor. Rhema pastor that taught me and taught us in school. He said, if you want to go down and stay down, just gripe, fuss when you have problems. Now, here's the challenge for us. If we want to go down and stay down, just gripe, fuss, and fuss and complain when you have problems. This is the way so many folks do it. They don't see a miracle or they don't get answers because they complain, they gripe, and they fuss. What is all that? That is unbelief. You can't gripe in faith. You can't complain in faith. We often say, if you complain, you'll remain. But if you praise, you'll be what? Doubt despairs, complains, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. What if you met somebody and they're griping and sad and expressing gloom, misery, and despair? Are they in faith? They can't be, right? What does faith do? It rejoices and is glad. Faith is how I receive or take delivery of healing that belongs to me. Now, here's what the Lord told me concerning the statement this pastor is making, and I'm making to you. He said, every day, listen to this. This is so powerful. He said, every day I want to empty out heaven's storage. He said, I have storage units of extra spare parts, extra body parts, extra livers, lungs, kidneys. But my children don't want to take it. See, when you've been drinking that bitter water, you wanna have something to gripe about, something to fuss about. Oh, this hurts. Oh, my kidneys. The doctor said my kidneys are messing up. The doctor says my heart's getting too big, or it's getting out of control. I need a cardiologist now. I need a neurosurgeon because something's wrong with my brain and something's going wrong here. We are not supposed to wear sickness like a badge of pride. We're not supposed to grab hold of these things just to get attention from other people that we have something to gripe about. 100% healed, 100% whole. That's what that table, that covenant tells, is screaming to you. God wants you well. God wants you healed. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Without faith, we cannot receive or take delivery of our healing. You might ask, what do I have to be glad about? I was given an evil, negative, or bad report. I just believed the death sentence by the doctor, received a death sentence by the doctor. I feel terrible. What do I have to be glad about? So some people need to repent of their pride or their pettiness because they wanted to make it about them when this covenant is about him. He did all that for you and me. How dare we thumb up our nose at the stripes he took? By his stripes, we were healed. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now look at this. 1 Peter 2:24. Big one. He himself bore our sins. Come on, let's read it together. Let's do group reading here. 1 Peter 2:24. Everybody can see it? Ready? Read. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Everybody say, I take that. Psalms 91:16. Ready? Read. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. What kind of life? The underscore longevity is long health. Now, what good is it if you make all this money for your life, you get to 60, 70, 80 years old, and then now you got to spend it all on your health care? You got to stay in a nursing home, go to doctors and hospitals, and over again, you got this massive amounts of expenditures just to keep you alive. Is that God's best? Praise the Lord. Psalms 107, verse 20. Ready? Read. He sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. So when you get ready to go, you go. Without sickness, without disease. I go because I'm finishing my work. We told you a couple weeks ago that there was 84-year-old couples, two of them, husband and wife, fully retired from their business and their careers, and they were on the road preaching the gospel, traveling all over the place, won over thousands of people to the Lord, 8,000 people to the Lord in 2024. 84 years old. They're not laying up in the house rubbing their knees and their ankles. Come on now, they're healed, doing the will of God at the end of life, end of their days, and happy about it. Praise God. Somebody say glory to God. Jeremiah 30, 17, the first part of the verse. Ready? Read. I will give back your health and heal your wounds, says the Lord. Everybody say, I take that. What, isn't that a prom, isn't that a definite promise? I will give back your health and heal your wounds. Everybody say, healing is the will of God for me every day and in every way. In Jesus' name I say. Amen. Exodus 23, 25, and 26. Ready? Read. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. And none shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land, and I will fulfill the number of your days. You believe that? Let me read Matthew 8. It says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Talking about Jesus. And behold, a leper. Now, we know leprosy is an incurable situation. Came and worshiped and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, he didn't have a question on Jesus' ability. He had his question on Jesus' willingness, which is the biggest question that people have today. The biggest challenge for most people is, does God want to heal me? And specifically, you tailor it to that condition or that disease or that diagnosis I'm dealing with. Does God want me healed of this? And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Should solve it for everybody. Worst case scenario, he says, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was what? Cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that no man, tell no man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift of Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now, when Jesus had entered into Capernaum, the centurion came to him, pleading him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Now notice twice Jesus says, I will. Never we see Jesus say, I won't. I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak in a word and my servant will be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them who followed, assuredly I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that the many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go thy way. As you have believed, so it be done unto you. And the servant was healed that same hour. Amen. So he said, Lord, I'm not even worried to come under your roof. So that means what? Healing does not require a physical or visible presence of Jesus to be right there. In other words, the spoken word is more powerful than a personal visitation. Some people want Jesus to heal me. Jesus, come heal me. Come help me. He said, I gave you the word. And the word spoken is just as powerful as a personal visitation. Somebody say, praise the Lord. That means we can get healed right now. Just by the word. The spoken word. And Jesus called that great faith. Great is your faith. See, friends, covenant is serious business. Covenant is unbreakable, unchangeable, irreversible, eternal. It's a bond. A formal, solemn, and binding agreement. Jesus was the will of God in action. And you didn't hear him say, I won't. Let's finish reading it. Listen to this. Now, when Jesus came to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laying sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. How many? All who were sick, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. When we look at the table, we say himself. What did he tell us? When you take these elements, you do this in remembrance of what? See, we don't go to the table saying, Lord, you know I got this going on in my life. You know I got this problem. You know I got this situation. I got this sickness. I got this terminal diagnosis. We're coming to him like we've been drinking waters from Mara. Bitterness. Complaint. We come remembering him. Or remembering himself. Took my infirmities. Now, what does it mean to take them? If I were to give you this, you got to take it. Jesus took it. He took that sickness. That's why we got to go on that table and say, oh, he took it. He took it so I don't have to take it for the next 10, 15, 20 years. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You can keep that. You took it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So you got to take delivery of your healing by faith. It's about what he did, not what we're going through. He took your infirmities. He bore your sickness. That means he took them away from you. He took them off of you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Y'all making me work real hard this morning. Praise the Lord. Now, next slide, guys. This is a table of mercy. Because wherever we're at, wherever we're starting this month, those of you that watching may be worshiping online, you may be starting from a horrible position of health. There's the absence of health in your life. But that's where we cry based on this table, mercy. Psalms 103, verse 8, look at this. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Let's read that together. Ready, read. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in what? Mercy is a word defining God's covenant love. We're talking about the covenant of healing, the covenant table. Now, if you go back and study, and we'll bring it up during our teaching this month, Jesus, people would always cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. What were they saying? They were triggering that obligatory love that God has through covenant. That means he's obligated to hear you. He's obligated to heal Son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. That's covenant language. It's God's covenant love toward and toward us. In other words, God is ready and willing to forgive us. Because some people think mercy is just forgiveness. But it's also heal us and help us. We call on the God of mercy. Instead of crying out in despair or complaining, griping, or murmuring, or getting bitter and letting bitterness ruin you, cry out for mercy. Let's read Psalms 100, verse 6. Ready, read. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is what? That means doesn't run out. Doesn't run out. Doesn't run out. Psalms 145, verse 8 and 9. Ready, read. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and what? Great in mercy. It's great mercy. The Lord is good to what? All, and his tender mercies are over all. Tender mercies. Lamentation 3:22. Ready, read. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new. How many mornings? Every morning, great is your faithfulness. Woo! Somebody say, glory to God. Somebody say, hallelujah. So if we look back at Psalms 103, let me turn there for a minute. Praise the Lord. Anybody know what it? We should be reading that every day almost. Bless the Lord, oh my. Come on, y'all. And all that's what? Within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, what? Oh, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 2, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your. Now, wait a minute. He forgives all your what? Your iniquities, your sins, but he forgives, he heals all of what? All means what? Everything. David believed, and so should we, the mercy of healing was a universal privilege as the mercy of forgiveness. So when we take the communion, we don't look at being forgiven. We look at also being healed. This is my body, which was broken for you. Why was his body broken? So that yours doesn't have to be broken. Today we want you not to accept brokenness anymore. The phrase he who heals all is just as permanent as the phrase who forgives all. So our Father God and our Lord Jesus Christ are just as ready to heal today, just as much as he's ready to and willing to forgive today. If people believe that God still forgives all iniquities, that he's faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins, 1 John 1:9, then we might ought to believe he still heals and is faithful and just to heal us of all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases, all of our depression, all of our dysfunctions, and all of our disabilities today. Can somebody say amen? Psalms 103 puts forgiveness of sins and healing of sicknesses on the same level. Y'all believe that? Because the same redemptive act of the cross where Jesus took our sins, he also took our sicknesses. We read that in 1 Peter 2:24, right? We are redeemed, forgiven, washed by the blood, and we are healed by the stripes, his stripes and his wounds. God's mercy covers both our forgiveness and our healing. Let me close with this scripture. For you, Lord, are good. Psalms 86, 5, verse 15. It says, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all who call upon you. How many? Well, all that who? Call upon him. I know some of us have forgotten the phone number to Jesus the healer. But we got to start dusting it off and calling upon the Lord. Not only for our salvation, but for our healing. Amen. But to you, O Lord, verse 15, our God, full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Somebody say, praise the Lord. In his book, Christ the Healer, F.F. Bosworth had a chapter called The Lord's Compassion and goes into detail about the bringing to this point. He said, throughout Scripture, when the sick came for healing, they asked for mercy. You see, God's mercy covers man physically as well as spiritually. And again, we read in the Gospels where Jesus had compassion on the sick. The same word for compassion is also translated mercy. Y'all remember the story of blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus? He said, son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody tried to shut him up, but he got louder. This is the month to get loud about your healing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. This is the month to get bold about your receiving your healing. Praise the Lord. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. You can cut the projector off. With the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Come on, stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now put on a healing song. If you can get one. Healing. Healing is here. Healing is here or something like that. Then we're going to take communion in just a second. But I just want you to thank God that you have a covenant of healing. Begin to lift your hands and thank God. And thank you, Lord, for healing. Now, I'm talking about divine healing now, because we're not talking about you getting better at managing what you eat and your exercise and making progress. That's good, naturally, wait. But I'm talking about spiritual. Receive your healing. Thank you, Lord, that you're opening a doorway for me to receive my healing from the top of my head to the sole of my feet, from every whit whole, from head to toe, every whit whole from head to toe. Even though you might have pain or problems right now, believe, receive. Thank God for your healing.